Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our favorite co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'd like to do another follow-up on an issue that's in the news, even though we're going to spend more of our time, most of our time, on the Palestinians and Nikki Haley, because that's interesting, too, and it's not getting good coverage. But I just wanted to follow up a little bit about what's going on with the Khashoggi murder and what's going on in Washington. That's what I've been sort of looking at. But yesterday, I kidded you a little bit about saying, boy, I feel a little sorry for this Pompeo. He has to get on an airplane and fly over there. But you probably don't think any more sympathetic for him. He flew for 14 hours, and the king talked to him for 15 minutes. So that's that to me was sort of a slight. But I do want to talk about, you know, how they're reacting, and politicians tend to react the way they think it's best to happen. But they're all champions of human rights now. Not the true civil liberties that we're concerned about, but the human rights of how people are being treated. And now the Khashoggi murder, or whatever it is, has called attention to, well, if that's the way Saudi Arabia operates, they don't respect human rights, and we have to punish them. And they're racing to get out in front of this. You know, what are we going to do to punish these Saudis? But once again, I can't help but keep thinking, if they really had concern about human rights and the problems of people's livelihood and the way they live, they'd be concerned about the alliance we have with Saudi Arabia to fight the war in Yemen. But that's not what they're talking about. Yeah. They're just talking about how are we going to gain favor to show that we're outraged over this. And there's a justification for some outrage, because it is pretty horrible. But it just happens, from our viewpoint, to be about out of our jurisdiction. You know, and that's different. But I support for the war and the killing that's going on and the people who are dying in Yemen. That's not outside our jurisdiction. And once again, that disturbs me that they're not talking about the right things in Washington.
Yeah, and you know, Stalin said the death of one is a tragedy, death of a million a mere statistic.
Yeah,
you know, and that's
right.
Essentially what it is. This one person dies, and now you have all the Lindsey Grahams of the world. You know, he grabbed the camera and grabbed the microphone saying, Mohammed bin Salman has got to go. He's got to go. He can no longer lead the country, you know, as if he has any jurisdiction. Well, they said, well, who should replace him? He says, it's not my job to decide.
So,
you know, on Pompeo, I started wondering, you know, they had this short meeting. I was wondering if he's over there trying to do an investigation, or maybe he's trying to give them some alibis,
you know,
because the more we hear about it, it's being blamed on some lower-ranking people. Oh, just some guys got out of hand, you know, and so maybe he's over there not trying to get to the bottom of it, but something else.
You know, there was a little bit of a stretch on another issue here, because somebody made the comment, well, this is an issue of freedom of speech, because Khashoggi was a journalist, as if that were the point. You know, and when you think about how it's being challenged by our government many times over the last 10, 15 years, or constantly, we have our own problems with our government interfering. And then when we talk about the internet, expression on the internet, in social media, being in collaboration with government, that's a different story too. Anyway, they're trying to justify. But in Gaza and with the Palestinian issue, there's some real violation there too of human rights.
Yeah.
And the article we found was Danny Gerson, who talked about why isn't it covered? I thought he made a good point. Not many people hear about it, and the people who do hear about it don't care. And this is a pretty serious problem, but it's been that way for a long time, you know. This is something, of course, that Nikki Haley was involved in, and we'll talk about her too. But the rights of the people in the occupied territory is really ignored. And, you know, even Saudi Arabia is a pretend ally and defender of the Palestinian, but that's sort of fluff. I don't think they care. If they cared about some more minorities, the people in Yemen would have a little bit better relationships with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. And, you know, this piece that we both saw was on antiwar.com today, I think, and it was a very good piece. And he makes the point that, as you said, that the U.S. news media even left to right MSNBC to Fox. They basically just ignore the situation in Palestine and Israel. And he suggests, and I think there's probably a lot to this, that there's a lot of self-censorship going on for fear of being labeled anti-Semitic. You know, the view that if you criticize Israeli policy, that you somehow you just hate these people, which is absurd because it's not true with criticizing any other nation's policies, and nations should be treated with each other. But it's the best way to silence people because you get them to essentially censor themselves, to silence themselves. You don't say anything, and it's the greatest tool that totalitarian countries have. You don't have to have a secret police out there. Just get people to already preempt themselves and don't say anything.
You know, and the article also called attention to a subject that I've talked about a lot, and that's blowback. Right. And immediately I thought, well, the Palestinians aren't going to commit blowback, especially against us, so therefore it's not a threat to our security. But his point is that the type of attitude we have in the way we treat people is global. It's just not for a small group of people. And I think of Madeleine Albright's making the statement when they ask her about 500,000 children, the civil rights and human liberties of those children in Iraq. Oh, well, that's what we have to put up with when we're trying to save the world, you know. So it does have an effect. And there are a lot of unhappy jihadists around the world. So in a way, it is a national security issue. Also, it's a drain on us, you know, financially and everything else to have to be every place, just aggravating people. But our strong support or lack of support for the Palestinians, I think it's pretty evident, and it doesn't change much with administrations. And Negroponte under Bush was not very sympathetic to the Palestinians, and certainly Nikki Haley doesn't come across. So far, I think in our lifetime, she might be the most aggressive against the Palestinian, for all we know.
Yeah, I think so. And to your point about the rest of the Muslim world, well, we know that Osama bin Laden told us why they were angry with us because of the treatment of Palestinians. So it's not like you have to be some kind of psychic to understand this. But, you know, we saw another piece on Al Jazeera a few days ago about something like Nikki Haley will not be missed by the Palestinians. And that's part of what we're talking about today. But you mentioned, too, that, you know, the Negroponte doctrine under George W. Bush was to block resolutions in the UN that were critical of Israel. But he said, and the author wrote, that the Haley Doctrine goes much further than that, in that she not only was blocking on and vetoing these things, she was actively working, for example, with the Israeli ambassador to the UN to punish countries and different UN agencies if they were providing aid to Palestinians, if they were helping the Palestinians, they were sympathetic. So she went even that step further, working with the Israelis to punish anyone trying to help the Palestinians.
You know, many years ago, there was a resolution against Israel. There was a conflict over there. And for some reason, at that particular time, the world came together at the UN, and they were all voting against it. And I objected to it and the resolution we had in the House. I voted against it. People, what are you doing? And my main argument was, this stuff that's going on now, what Negroponte was doing and what Haley has been doing, have these public PR fights at the United Nations. That's not how to settle. And I didn't think we should be using the UN that way. We shouldn't even be in it. Yeah. So I refused to participate in this, even though I'd have my own sympathies because I think that the Palestinians are getting the short end of the stick on this. But I want to read a little quote from Nikki Haley when she just went into office, and she was at an AIPAC meeting in 2017. But it tells you a little bit about her her character, you know, because she's pretty, I don't know what the word is, the most polite thing I can say. She's tough, mean, and nasty,
know. Exactly.
Okay, but the people love her. You know, when she resigned or planned to resign, the media loved her. That would make everybody be suspicious of what's going on here.
No kidding.
But let me just read this short quote. She said, there's a new sheriff in town. She announced before 18,000 conference attendees intoxicated with excitement. I wear heels. It's not a fashion statement. It's because I see something wrong. We're going to kick them every single time. And of course, the thing that she was referring to was she claimed that the UN never gave Israel a break, you know, and they were always on top of them. But once again, I don't think we should be in that business. But she had a reputation, and it's interesting to think about, you know, who the replacement is going to be, and will they follow in her footsteps? Because from our viewpoint, I don't think we could get one that could be much worse than she is. I mean, she's the kind of person that might think about running for president. Now, that would scare me, too.
Unfortunately, it can always get worse. Just what you think. But you talk about character. You know, this is something that happened under the Trump administration with Nikki Haley in charge, and Nikki Haley led the charge, kicking in her high heels about the U.S. cutting funds for the UNRWA, the UN Refugee Relief Agency. And what they did is they treated Palestinians who were in hospitals, you know, literally in the hospital bed. And, okay, you might say that if that was aid money that came back, that might be another issue to vote on. However, the American taxpayer did not save a dime. They just took that money out of spite. And President Trump was clear. He said, no money till you make a deal. So here are people that are in a hospital bed suffering, and they're being punished because their leadership won't make a deal that Trump wants. So it's the most cynical thing, and that's kind of nasty kicking that Haley did all the time.
Yeah, she was pretty good at that. And of course, the relationship and what's going on in the Middle East hasn't been helped. And I think that our policies are not likely to change either. It'll be interesting. From the very beginning of this killing of Khashoggi, I've said that policies probably aren't going to change, you know, a whole lot. Now, there is a lot more excitement in Washington, and maybe they will change, you know, with relationship to Saudi Arabia. But when it comes to the Palestinians, I don't think they have very much support around the world. Even you know, the Islamic community, the Arab community, nobody seems to really care. And that's why I think this article was important. It is important, and I thought you made the important point, too, that it was on bin Laden's mind. You know, they know about it, even though most Americans don't know about it, but nobody's going to. But I also think it's the way it's interpreted, because if you say, well, why aren't we friendlier with the Palestinians? Why should we stand by and say, well, if Israel can take some land from them, they need to build things. Why? What business is it of ours? And maybe that would be the case under certain circumstances. But under the case when we support that, and we support, and they get their moral support, so to speak, from the United Nations, then all of a sudden it becomes, you know, our responsibility too. But it also leads to a lot of resentment. And even though people don't hear about this, there's a lot of people who hear about the, you know, the discrepancy in the way we have treated the Palestinians.
You know, you talk about who has traditionally been in favor of the Palestinians or has given them a square deal or an even shake or cared about them. Well, here's one for the conspiracy theorists, because there are two leaders who are particularly kind to the Palestinians, Saddam Hussein and al-Assad. So you see what happened to them. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. But, you know, on Haley, here's another classic Haleyism. You know, on May 14th of this year, on just one day, Israeli snipers killed 60 unarmed Palestinian protesters, just mowed them down, injured thousands, just protesting for the right to return to their own land. And here's what Haley said, 60 unarmed people gunned down. She said, no country in this chamber would act with more restraint than Israel has. You know, could you imagine the U.S.? We have a march on Washington and they just open up on everyone. You know, it's
you know, when I look at her attitudes and her language, and think that, as some people have predicted, that she's looking to be around, she's not going to go away, and that she became the smartest person in the world, how she left the administration, you know, this sort of thing, and she could, you know, be a little bit smarter than Trump. But one thing characteristic of her, as other women that I met in the Congress, it almost seemed like they have to be tougher than men.
Yeah.
You know, that you had Don't worry about me. I'm no softy. I'll do it too. I'll drop bombs and I'll shoot them too, and I'll justify this. And there are at times that isn't the case, but very often in Washington, especially on if they're on the conservative side of the aisle, they have to prove how really tough they are. Now, I like people to be what they really are, and I don't like people proving their point, especially when it's artificial, in order to have a political edge.
Well, you've always said sometimes the real tough people are the ones that can restrain themselves, you know, and constrain themselves. But, you know, the main reason we're talking about this is obviously as humanitarians, we're concerned about the Palestinians, but it's really about our national interests, you know. And you can't help the perception because of the money that we send to Israel. You can't help the perception that the U.S. funds an apartheid-like state in Israel where one group of people are second-class citizens, that it backs the theft of Palestinian land, that it backs the building of houses on stolen property, because we are funding this. If we would stop supporting it, it would be a whole different issue. And it is in our national interest, financially, morally, and just as non-interventionist. So hopefully there will be more of a debate on this issue, and people will start thinking a little bit more, being able to not censor themselves. Of course, there are extremists who just want to make some nasty comment about people, but we should ignore those people. They're a tiny, marginalized group of no importance, but it is healthy to have a real debate on this issue. Dr. Paul?
Very good. And I want to thank our viewers for tuning in today, and I want to mention once again that many of these problems could be solved if we follow the principles of a non-interventionist foreign policy. It's difficult to present the case for non-intervention because we're so much involved and we're intervening every place. To reverse that is not very easy, but it has to be set as a standard. We have to move in that direction. And besides, I believe that the system that we have today of world domination and being the world policeman and having a global empire, it's not going to last forever because it's connected to the monetary system and there's fragility there as well. So we need to get a message out why it's right and proper and moral and constitutional to develop a policy which protects America better than any other policy of non-intervention. I believe in it, and I believe that the Constitution defends that position. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Please return soon.